It is good for us to be together today to worship God and to claim His strength for our life. How good that we can be together. I want to lead us in a prayer. There will be a time for you to name a name or say a concern, a joy, to offer that up, and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord of life, God of mercy, You whose ways are beyond our ways and You whose gift to us is beyond our calculations, we praise You for many things. We thank You for the gift of our nation, for this land, for our heritage of freedom and liberty and justice for all. Lord, by Your mercy, help us to live up to all we would be for You as a people. We give thanks for the bounty of it all. We thank You for more than enough to eat. We thank You for gifts beyond measure. Lord, we pray for those for whom life is hard now. We pray for those who are suffering with pain or with newfound limitations of body, or for those who struggle with with their work, for those whose work is a disappointment, for those whose work is unrewarded, and for those who have no work, we pray. Lord, we pray for the generation above us, for those who've gone before us. Be with them in their struggles, and we pray for the generations beneath us. Be with them in all that life is throwing at them. We pray for families who are caught in poverty, for moms and dads who can't do for their children what they would like to do. We pray for people around the world who are caught in places of injustice or oppression. Oh Lord, as we celebrate our freedom on this day, we pray that the freedom we know might come to all people. We pray for those who serve the cause of freedom and justice across this creation. Those men and women far from home on this day who serve so that more may know a life of freedom. Lord, hear the prayers we make, the concerns of our lives and our world. Lord, in Your mercy, hear our prayers. No, we make them in the name of the One who taught us to pray and to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Your sister doesn't give me all this grief. You could learn something from her.
Son, please, okay? I'm busy right now. I don't have time for this.
Is it too much for you just to do what I asked the first time? Why is everything so difficult with you?
just not ready for a relationship right now.
Oh, dude, I would love for you to come tonight. I just don't think we have enough food for everyone.
You see how he hits the ball? That's what you need to do.
Let's take things a little slower. See other people for a while, maybe?
These grades are fine, if you want to make minimum wage the rest of your life.
Things are really tight right now, and your job just isn't bringing in enough. Have you thought about asking for a raise?
Man, I'm sorry. I just can't risk putting you in management right now. Maybe next year.
You've got great qualifications. I'm sure somebody will snatch you up. You're just not a great fit for us.
Let me add a word of welcome to those I hope you've already received. It's good for us to worship together. We have been reading from the middle section of Luke's gospel. Jesus is on the road, and he meets these different people, and different things happen. And he teaches them a way to respond. I've called it sort of getting the mind of Christ. That's what Paul calls it. And we want to hear some of these readings and to consider how they help us have the attitude of Christ, the mind of Christ, the way of Christ in our lives. So here a reading from the 10th chapter of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way, see, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace in this house. And if there is, and if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. Cure the sick who are there. And say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have, I'm getting ready to go on a backpacking trip. There's about a dozen guys from the church here that are going to be going. We are going to Idaho, to the Sawtooth Mountains. We'll be 5 nights in the backcountry with everything on our back. Used to, when I'd go on these kind of trips, what you tried to do, you know, to show how big a man you were, how big a pack you could carry. We're beyond that now. And now the game is, how do we get the pack as small as possible? We've already had the challenge laid down. One of the guys who's going to meet us out there and who lives there and shows us around, a friend of Roger Grider's, emailed us. He's gotten his down to 18 pounds. Well, we can't figure out what he's leaving out. That's going to be eat bark and berries or rocks or something, but I think our wives, we've got 2 weeks before we go, but our wives are ready. Go. They're saying, just go, because they've had this stuff strewn out over their house, you know, everything and all these trips, you know, to get a little more of this and more of that. Half the fun of going is getting the gear together. You have to make these choices about what you're going to be comfortable with. I was talking to one of our group. He said he brings a little camp stool, a little chair. You know, I'm not going to do that. It's kind of like what your little comfort items are. You know, of course. On the other hand, he can do without coffee. Well, I'm going to have my coffee. So you kind of figure out what your trade-offs are and what you got to have. What do I bring? And what do I leave? Jesus sends out these 70 disciples, 70 missionaries, 70 people, and he sends them out to proclaim peace. Luke begins the gospel by talking about Jesus as God's proclamation of peace. It's this idea that Jesus teaches us that God is at peace with us, doesn't have anything against us, and that we can be at peace with one another. And so Jesus sends out these people to proclaim, to teach the kingdom of peace, that God is not mad at us, that God is not against us, that God is for us. And he sends them out. But before he sends them out, he strips them down. He pulls a bunch of stuff out and said, don't take that. It's amazing what he takes out. The first thing he says is, I'm sending you out like sheep, lambs, among wolves. I guess what he's telling them there is no fear. Take no fear with you. You know, over and over again, Jesus will say to people, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So he sends them out and says, don't be afraid. If you have ever lived with somebody who wants to inspire fear in you, you know what that's like. Sad to say, sometimes people get parented by fear, you know? Parents who discipline by threatening and who demean, who leave their children in fear. And you know what that will do to your life. And of course, some of us may have had bosses who thought that, you know, it was management by fear. You know, I'll get more work out of them by just making them be afraid for their job and making them be afraid of the consequences if they don't do it like I want it. Of course, the problem is when we're fearful, we don't do our best. When we're fearful, we're in business. We don't innovate. When we're afraid, we don't risk. We don't give our best. And so Jesus says, in so many words, I'm going to send you out. I'm not sending you out with fear. You're going to be like lambs among wolves, but you'll be all right. Of course, the second thing he tells them not to take is their purse, their wallet. No billfolds, no money. I don't know about the other guys, but for the 12 of us, we're going to have a satellite phone. You know, we got 100 minutes, so if there's an emergency. And we're all probably also going to have a credit card tucked in the back of our pack. So, you know, with a satellite phone or a credit card, you can probably get whatever you need if you get in a bind, a pinch, and an emergency. Jesus tells them, don't go out with your billfold, your purse. I guess what's going on there is he's inviting them to find a different kind of security. He's sending them out, and he said, you know, it's really not your money that's your backup. I am the one who will finally hold you up. Whatever canyon you fall into, whatever dead end you take, It's not going to be your money, finally, that holds you up. So he kind of points them to a life that finds its security in him. And then he sends them out. He says, don't take a bag. Don't take a bag. I guess he's saying don't take a lot of extra clothes. You know, take what you wear. I remember when I got my first church. I had been finished college. I'd gone to seminary. And I had worked as a youth director at a church. But I got a call right over Christmas, would I come and fill in at this church? I was still a seminary student, and be their pastor for like 6 months to conference. And I said I would. Had to do several things. First, I had to go to the barber. I had kind of hair that was real much longer than a pastor would ever have. And we have a before and after picture, you know. But my mother called, and I told her about it, and she said, I'm sending you a check. And she sent me a check for $200. That was back when $200 was a lot of money. And she said, I want you to go get a suit. She said, get a kind of a dark suit, because you may have to do some funerals or some weddings. She said, get you a couple of dress shirts, you know. Get a pair of shoes if you need them, and some ties. She said, we're not going to have any tacky preachers in this family. She said, and polish, shine your shoes, too, before you do a wedding or a funeral and go to church. You know, she sort of knew. And appearances do matter. What you wear, dress for success. Isn't that the motto? Jesus says, well, maybe not so much. He says, don't take a lot of extra money. Don't take a extra bag of clothes. It's not it's not your status that you present. It's something else. And then he told them, the strangest thing, don't take sandals. Man, that's pretty rough on your feet. Until you begin to remember that place in the Bible where God told somebody else to take off their sandals. Moses. He's out wandering around. God says to him, you're on holy ground. Take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. Makes me wonder if Jesus is sending them out to say, I'm going to send you out, and you're going to encounter holy things. So you keep your sandals off. Don't carry a lot. And there's one other thing he does. He gives them a ritual. He gives them a sacrament. Now we know what sacraments are. Sacraments are these signs we do that point us to a deeper reality. In the church we have the sacrament of baptism. You know, you have the water, and it's a sacrament of being washed and being born anew. It's got those wonderful symbols. And it's an action we do that symbolizes an interior reality. And we know about Holy Communion. We'll celebrate that in a moment, where we take bread and you take the cup, and we talk about Christ being in us and us being in Christ. And I mean, we symbolize that. We take a little piece of bread and the cup of it that will speak to us of the way that Christ is in us. We'll literally eat and drink that. You know, there's another sacrament that some churches do more. We do it occasionally around here, but not too often. The sacrament of foot washing. You know, Jesus tells his people to do that too. In the Gospel of John, and some churches do that more often than others, but it's a sacrament of humility. Jesus gives another sacrament or a ritual in this story. He says, if you go to a town, you know, and you offer them peace, the peace of Christ, or you offer them help, to cure them, to make them better, and they don't want it. He says, when you leave, shake the dust off your feet. Shake the dust off your feet. Strange behavior. Did you know that in 19th century America, there were religious groups that practiced this as a real ritual? It wasn't just a symbolic thing. There are stories of these missionaries that were sent out from some Christian groups, and the pastor, the missionary, the circuit rider would go into a town and maybe announce that there was going to be preaching, you know, in a gospel meeting. And sometimes there's stories in history books of, you know, maybe only one or two people would come. And, you know, it was a failure. And so what the minister would do, the circuit rider or the missionary, he would go outside the town literally and say, "I shake the dust of your town off my feet." He would wipe them off. And what they meant it is sort of a curse on this town. Sort of a condemnation of this town. Sort of a marking of this town, you know. God's not going to have anything to do with you. But you know, as you read Luke, I'm thinking something else is going on here. Just a few verses back, the disciples, the 12, had gone and this town had rejected them. And they wanted to burn it to the ground. Not no dust business. They wanted to burn it to the ground, you know. And Jesus looks at them and rebukes them. I'm thinking maybe Jesus is giving them a ritual and a sacrament for failure. And the reason is this. You know, not all the burdens we carry can be measured in terms of ounces and pounds and kilograms. I'm thinking what Jesus is doing is giving them a ritual that's not so much about those people that reject them, but he's given a ritual to these missionaries, these guys who he sent out. Because, you know, he tells them what to do when you fail. You know, you offer the best you have, this peace of Christ, to these little towns, and they don't want it. So what's that going to do to you? Well, it's going to make you angry. It's going to be disappointed. You're disappointed. You're filled with disappointment. And, you know, that could lead to a lot of resentment. You know, you could leave that town not caring so much the peace of Christ, but caring this anger and this resentment. So I think maybe he gives them this ritual. I like the story. It comes from the East, Far East. The story about these two Buddhist monks, an old one and a young one. And they're out going from one monastery to the other. And the old monk, the younger monk, they come to this big wide river. And the river's up and it's swollen. And there's this young woman by the river. She can't swim. She's scared, afraid of the water. But she asks if the monks will help her get across, and the old monk kind of nods, and he helps this young woman, a beautiful young woman actually, as the story goes, get on his back, and he with his staff kind of gets across the river with this lovely young woman on his back, and then the young monk comes too, and they get to the other side. He puts the young woman down, and they go on their journey. Well, the rest of that day, the young monk is, something's going on. He's mad. He's angry. He's short and snappy with the other monk, and he kind of sulks. And finally, the older monk asks him, says, "Brother, have I done something wrong to offend you?" And the young monk, he said, "No monk should do what you did. You monks don't touch women, and certainly not beautiful women. And you put that woman on your back. Her face was next to your face. I'm so disappointed that you did that." And the older monk says, "I left the woman back at the river hours ago. You're still carrying her around." Maybe this ritual that Jesus gives Shake the dust off your feet. Well, when you fail, when you are offended, when what you offer is not received, dust it off. Move on. Don't let this become the theme for your life. Heard the story about two prisoners of war, two former prisoners of war. They meet some years after the war is over, and they had been prisoners together. And one prisoner asks the other, a former prisoner, he says, have you forgiven our captors? And the other former POW says, I will never forgive them. And the first former POW says, well, I see they still hold you prisoner. You know, all the burdens we carry are not measured in ounces and pounds and kilograms. And unforgiveness and resentment over disappointments we've had and failures we've had and those who did not treat us right, you know, what a burden. What a burden. Forgiveness is certainly for the person who receives it, but maybe more it's for the person who gives it. What is it they say? Forgiveness means giving up all hope of a better past. Giving up all hope of a better past. That's what forgiveness is. But when we do that, we can find a future. We can find a way forward. Well, when Jesus sends the folks out, He sends them out with His peace, and He sends them out together. They go two by twos. They travel with a community. It used to be when you'd go camping, backpacking with a bunch of guys, like I'm going with in a few weeks, back when everybody carried these huge packs and every kind of thing you could imagine, you could almost go and just not take anything, you know, because if you needed something, there would always be somebody else who had this or that item, and you could really slip by pretty light. I did that for a few years, you know. Well, I won't carry, emergency fire starters because somebody else is going to have them. I won't carry a backpacking saw, a little saw, you know. Somebody else will have one. And you could get by pretty easy because you depended on each other. This story is about how Jesus sends us out, dependent on Him, living with His peace, and living in community with one another, expecting that there will be gifts out there to be received. He tells them, when you come into a town and somebody brings you, offers you a meal, don't look it over and think, I wonder if she's a better cook. I wonder if he's a better cook. No, take it. And if they give you a place to stay, don't say, you know, I wonder if I go to the next house, if it's a little nicer. Jesus said, receive the gifts of community and receive the peace. Well, Jesus invites us to dust off our feet when we need to. Shake the dust off and put resentment, disappointment, failure, put it behind us. And to move forward and to go forward this profound peace. To travel light, to let go of some of the junk we need to let go of, to leave behind what we do not need, and to go forth in the future carried by His grace and sustained by His peace. Let us pray. Lord of life, God of mercy, help us to leave behind what needs to be left behind. To move forward, upheld by your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Every person here is welcome to receive this. Whether you are a member of this church or another church or no church at all, if you wish to be fed by Christ, if you wish to be identified with Christ and to receive what He offers, you are welcome here to receive the communion. Our custom is to come forward, and you can go either to the left or the right, and there'll be somebody there with some bread, and you can take a little piece of bread and then a cup and eat and drink, and then there'll be someone to take that cup from you there. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we remember how in your mercy you fed hungry people. How your giving of bread was a sign of community and love and fellowship. How you ate with sinners. How you ate with strangers. How you fed them all out of your mercy and love. And how the bread you shared created a deep bond between them. We remember how you fed the people in the wilderness. And we give thanks that you would feed us and give us strength in the frightening and lonely places of our lives. And Lord, we remember how on the day of resurrection you broke bread and the disciples' eyes were opened and they knew you. They knew that you were alive beyond all evil and all death. And so, Lord, we pray that you would send your Spirit on this bread and this cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the whole world His body, in service and in love, ones who bear the peace that He offers, the peace of His kingdom. In Jesus' name. I invite those who are to share in the serving and to, if you would come first. And now go into the world with that peace of Christ, giving thanks for the freedom you have received, for the gift of this bountiful and good land in which we live. Go in His power and go in His love. The very one who loves us is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.